Remain standing. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Well, any pastor will tell you that today's gospel is one of the most difficult parables to preach. Not only is it talking about money, but it seems to contradict other clearly taught values in the pages of Scripture. So to review, a rich man is preparing to terminate his financial manager, whom we'll call Bill, because of fraud. Bill, the dishonest manager, realizing that he's about to be fired, quickly begins planning his next steps. He realizes that his situation is not good, he has no trade, he's unlikely to be hired again quickly, he doesn't have EI. So he makes a plan. He goes around to everyone who owes his boss money, right? His boss. And he massively reduces their debt. And he does this so they will be helpful and hospitable to him when he loses his job. It's called building a relationship debt. So just to be really clear about what's going on in this passage, a man who is fraudulent or stealing from his boss steals from him more. And then the employer commends the dishonest manager, saying, you know, that was actually pretty shrewd of Bill. That was not bad for Bill. Why is he commended when Scripture elsewhere condemns dishonesty and stealing? Why did Jesus tell this parable? Why is it in the Bible? Well, I've read many, many different interpretations of this difficult passage, some of them very confusing. The best I have found is by the theologian Lois Malcolm, and she identifies four helpful clues in our text that helps us understand what is going on in this gospel with this master commending his dishonest manager. And so we're going to look at these one by one. First, you'll notice in verse 8, Jesus says the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. So Jesus often called his disciples the children of light. So this is, and he feels that they could learn something about acting shrewdly. So this parable would be an example of Jesus giving a positive lesson from a negative example. So just like, for example, if you want to learn something about how to be a good spouse, certainly you can look at good marriages and learn from the good marriages, but you can also learn something from bad marriages, right? For example, don't publicly constantly criticize your spouse, right? That would be an example of learning a positive lesson from a negative example. And Jesus is doing the same thing in this parable. Second, what the children of light can learn from the children of this age has to do with making friends for themselves. Making friends for themselves. So Jesus is saying that disciples are to use their resources to make friends for themselves. Well, certainly this was very practical advice. The people that Jesus was talking to after Jesus' death and resurrection would be persecuted. And so in a practical way, they needed friends in all places just to help them survive. But in light of what follows in the rest of this passage and in the passages that follow in chapter 12, Jesus is also likely here talking about using our resources and making friends who can help us to pursue God's kingdom plans. I want to give you an example. Last week I was talking to a colleague who was telling me about a mission trip that he and some members of their church had gone to in Kenya. And it was a the church mission trip, and it was underwritten in part by church finances, and it was Christians. They invited along, however, a local businesswoman, not a Christian, but she was interested in what they were doing, and they were like, sure, come along, not a problem, we'd love to have you on board. There was some shrewdness in that invitation. As a result of that shared experience, the woman caught the vision, and she was so excited by the work that they were doing among women in the slums of Nairobi that she, a wealthy woman, is now the major donor that is enabling this project to go ahead. She buys all of the art, the craft, in one go, a large amount from women in Nairobi who handcraft. They then sell the necklaces and purses and so on here in Canada, make a killing, and they send all the money back to the Kenyan women who use the money so they can buy school uniforms for their kids and pay school fees so that the kids can go to school. That invitation, inviting, a non-Christian businesswoman along on a church mission trip, I think is an example of being shrewd for the kingdom of God. We need to be shrewd about sharing our resources, financial and people resources, with friends and allies in the community who are rowing in the same direction that we are. So we give food and money to allies like Gate 316 so that the hungry are not sent away empty but filled with good things. We are coming alongside and we're supporting the ministry of guidance teachers at O'Neill High School because we know that through them the lonely are comforted. We support hospital chaplaincy at the Oshawa Civic through the considerable ministry of Deacon Warren and our hospital volunteers to lend our resources to new allies and new friends, the doctors and nurses who help the lame to walk and the blind to see. We are shrewd in looking for friends to share our resources with, not because we're trying to, secure a future employment for us, and not dishonestly, there's a bishop here, I want to be very clear, I'm not suggesting anything unethical, but to do our small part to secure our city's future, to row the boat, not just with other believers, although of course we want to work with other Christians, but with all our potential allies and friends that we can seek out and make to row in the direction of the kingdom. It's shrewdness for the kingdom that begins conversations by asking our neighbors, what can we give, what can we do to help you? Third, Jesus points out that there's a link between being faithful in little and faithful in very much. So the point is how we use the resources that are at our disposal in this life, especially in tight circumstances, matters, even though we know, Jesus says, our true riches are in that place, heaven, where no thief can draw near, no moth destroyed. To put it really simply, our management of money and our other assets is intimately tied to our spirituality, and that's why Jesus was telling a story about money. And finally, Jesus reminds us, and that was the zinger that finished the gospel reading this morning, that no slave can serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and wealth. We know that the kingdom of God entails giving up other commitments, in order to say that Jesus is Lord. For those of you who remember hearing this passage in the King James Version, you may remember that in that version, wealth is referred to as mammon, right? Mammon with a capital M. And I actually prefer that translation, even though we don't use that term anymore, simply because it looks as though mammon is an idol or a god when it's capitalized like that. Martin Luther said there is actually no other idol in our world that is more tempting than wealth, than mammon. In the end, however, if Jesus is to be Lord of our lives, this will need to include lordship over our pocketbooks. So having looked at all these four keys in the text, we're ready to return to that opening question. Why is our dishonest manager commended in his dishonest shrewdness? Well, even though he's still a sinner, looking after his own selfish interests, he models a principle that we can emulate. Namely, instead of being victims of circumstances, we can transform bad situations into one that benefits others and ourselves. So again, just to be really clear, Bishop here, Jesus is not saying that we should steal. This would be out of line with the rest of his teaching and everything else in Scripture. He is saying that we can learn from that manager's shrewdness, and we should be shrewd in looking to use our resources to make friends and allies for the purposes of building up God's kingdom of justice, peace, and mercy. He is saying that, yes, we need to pay attention to how we use the resources we have, because wisdom in money matters bears fruit in other areas of our lives. He is reminding us that our management of our resources is part of our discipleship to God. And then he leaves us with that warning, even as we're talking and thinking about our resources, to be aware of the temptation, which will be constant, to allow money to become our God. This past Wednesday night at our leadership meeting, we were talking about a new partnership that we're beginning with a group called CAP, or Christians Against Poverty. This is actually a group that started in Great Britain, and they've just a year ago come to Canada. And it's called Christians Against Poverty, and as you may catch in the title, they're against poverty. They're against poverty. But they're not looking just to do sort of the Band-Aid thing, so give food to the hungry, that's important, not just to, you know, give clothes to those who can't afford to get clothes, that's important. But their interest is helping prevent people slipping into poverty in the first place. Their interest is in helping people who do find themselves in debt through debt consolidation and debt counseling find a way out of debt. And we see CAP as potential kingdom allies, because we recognize that debt and poverty, they're really a spiritual problem. Yes, they're physical. You're hungry, right? You have no clothes with which to send your child in warm coats in the winter, but it's a spiritual problem. So we're investing $30 a month of our tight parish resources because we think we're being shrewd for the kingdom. Two leaders, one of which is David Crome, thank you, David, and Holly McCallum from our 915 service, are leading the charge on this ministry. They're getting training, and in January, we hope to run our first CAP money management course, which will be open to parishioners. We want to serve people in our own community, but also to our neighbors in the city of Oshawa. And we're going to show now a brief video just to introduce you to this ministry.
One day, I got a payday loan to survive, which started a vicious circle that kept getting worse and worse. Me and Gemma were rowing and arguing about debt, then using drugs to try and forget about it. It was like living in a black hole.
Oh One day, when the pressure of death just got all too much, I walked into the sea and wanted to end it all. I was in complete turmoil. When I slept, I was tormented. So I panicked and I just didn't want to face it.
One day I had to go and beg for a potato from one of my neighbours. I was so ashamed. When my mum had passed away, I didn't know anything about running households or paying bills. I have severe dyslexia and couldn't understand the numbers and letters.
One day in June 1992, in this car park, for me, what a day. Overwhelmed by spiralling debt, knowing I was going to lose my home, I pulled in and I literally was overwhelmed. I was woken up about an hour later by my 8-year-old daughter Jasmine knocking on the window saying, "Daddy, are you okay?" After becoming a Christian and still in debt but full of faith, I started Christians Against Poverty, which has now grown into a national debt counselling ministry, reaching thousands through local churches. Working with our debt coaches, we visit some of the poorest people in our communities. We work with them, we set up budgets, and we do all this through the love of Jesus and the heart of the church to reach the poor. And it's this combination that changes thousands of people's lives.
When Kat came into our lives, it really gave us the power to become ourselves and take away the baggage that we had on our shoulders. Was really heavy, so we really have been set free. When Anna organised the Discovery Breakthrough Cap for us, it was, we didn't really know what to expect, and we did a session on forgiveness, which really sunk through to the bones, really. And for some reason we sat behind, and when everybody left and a couple of people there prayed for us, and then afterwards I went outside and had a moment with God on my own, and I just poured my heart out to him and asked for forgiveness and asked him to take the pain and hurt away that I'd been through, and he just did, and I just felt an overriding peace in my heart.
The day that God intervened in my life and I knew that he really cared about me was the day that I was standing here in Carrickfergus Harbour. I was I was in debt and distressed, and the pressure, I just didn't want to live, not even for my kids, and I felt like a failure towards them. But you know something, whenever I was standing in that sea, I could remember just a voice inside saying, "Get back up out of that sea and just go and look after your kids and everything will be okay." The next day I phoned Cap and I spoke to Jackie, but I felt kind of should I be telling her some of the things, because I felt really ashamed. But you know something, I poured my heart out to Jackie because she didn't judge me and I didn't feel ashamed. I just felt as if I could talk to her. She prayed with me, and that's when I became a Christian. I was so happy, and now I'm debt free. I'm a support worker, and three of my clients have become Christians and come to church with me every Sunday, and it's just amazing.
Here at Christ Church, we share Jesus' vision of the kingdom of God, where the poor are not set away hungry, don't have to go knocking on their neighbor's door for a potato. And in a world where the poor who are in debt aren't left feeling that the only way out, drowning in debt, is to drown themselves. So we want to shrewdly invest our resources as a parish to row in the direction of that vision with our allies. And so, as we've already said, we are hoping to launch the CAP Money Management course in January. We are grateful to you, our parishioners, for enabling us to make this kingdom investment. Our management of our money is a spiritual matter and part of our Christian life. So as you listen to the sermon this morning, I have a few questions to leave with you. Where did you sense God's Spirit nudging you this morning as you heard the word of the Lord read? Do you feel that you have a spiritually healthy relationship with money? And if not, where is God calling you to grow? Are you, like the manager in today's parable, a shrewd investor, committing your resources to friends and allies who are working to build the kingdom of heaven? Let's pray. Holy and gracious God, we thank you for Jesus, your living word, and we thank you for these challenging words that we've wrestled with this morning. Father, we thank you for the ministry of CAP, for their sense of calling to help people, prevent people slipping into poverty by learning to manage their resources, their ministry to those who are drowning in debt, helping them to find a way out. Father, we confess the ways in which we have failed in our own management of our resources, in our relationship to money. We thank you for the gift of resources for ourselves and for our church and for mission and ministry. And we do pray that as a church, you would guide our leadership so that we might invest shrewdly for the building up of your kingdom. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.